127, and I've titled this morning, Rest. Now, it's a rhetorical question. You've got to think of it in your own mind, and I'll give you some ideas. What does rest look like for you? What does rest look like for you? Curled up with a good book? Maybe? Lazy on a sun lounger at the side of the swimming pool? Oi, that looks and feels like rest to me. In bed with a good cup of tea. Very British, that. Very British. Don't know what it is about tea, but it just seems to bring a level of comfort that not a lot else can. Anybody else notice that? Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth. I feel like it could be an age-related thing because nobody else on this front row, over here, by the way, all right? They're like, no, never had a cup of tea, don't want one, it's for old people. Yes, it is. But there are a myriad of different things, like maybe even just sat with your joggers on, watching the TV with your feet up, brings a level of rest. In truth, we all find rest in so many different places, doing different things. I would happily sit and lay by the pool for an entire week without doing anything, which actually infuriates Lol, because she likes to sit in the pool with a book. And she cannot fathom how I can sit there for a solid 9 hours and not read a thing. Oh, I can do that for years. Not just hours, years. I am happy to just sit and do absolutely nothing. So while Lolly's annoyed that I'm not reading, I'm in my happy place. She's also in a happy place as long as she's got her feet in a swimming pool and a good book in her hands. We went on holiday in the summer and she managed to get through 3 books. I don't even know how that's possible. I took the biography of Peter Crouch with me, and I am a third of the way through. But I only had a week, so, you know, what can you do? There's time. Anyway, it took me an hour and a half to read the preface, is it? Is that what you call it? I don't know. Anyway, wherever we find our rest, the truth is we all need it, and we have that in absolute common. You might find your rest in a different place to me, but we all need our rest. And when we think about that, it makes Jesus' words in Matthew 11 and verse 28, which is going to be the first verse that I go to, so I apologise. No, I don't really. I took my bookmark out as well while I was talking to you, which is really annoying, because when you do that, you have to waffle for a little bit and pretend like everything's all right, when deep down inside I'm panicking just a little bit because somebody's removed my bookmark. Anyway, Matthew 11 and verse 28 through 30, and it says this: "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So those words that Jesus is saying there, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Then we have to ask the question, do we all get tired? And the answer is absolutely yes. We all, at some point, are weary and tired and in need of a little bit of rest. So when Jesus says this, his audience isn't just the few, is it? His audience isn't just the few. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And we've gone from just a conversation here with the people around about him to now us going, well, that could well mean me. The invitation isn't exclusive in any way, shape, or form. We all need rest physically, yes, but we all need rest spiritually too. And unlike physical rest, I guess, where there are a load of options, and I don't just mean sleep, because sleep's all right, but it doesn't always cut it, does it? And especially when you're really tired, I don't know whether this could be an age thing. You'll work with me here. That I can sleep for about 6 hours and then I'm awake. What is that all about? I need at least 12. I remember being a teenager, and if I didn't have 12 hours sleep, it was pointless me even getting up. My parents didn't see it that way, but you know, it is what it is. Yeah, I disagree with it entirely. You should get out of bed. I'm careful what I say here, especially when you've got teenagers looking at you. But in reality, we all need spiritual and physical rest. And Jesus, what he says here and has on offer for us, is a rest unlike that physical sleep that we have. But it's a rest that brings a peace to our hearts and to our minds. The youth of, or the kids have broken up for half term, so they're going to get some rest, aren't they? The kids will get rest. Let's spare a moment for the parents. They won't get any rest. And of course, those that are new into work, that have only just left school, they've experienced a full year of this now, Joel, and you should be ready. It's so disappointing, that first summer holiday, when the kids are off and you're like, I've got to go to work. How disappointing. I know, it's terrible. But in reality, they're off for a wee bit of time and they're going to get some rest. The teachers and the teaching assistants and those that work in schools, they're all going to get the rest. And the parents, well, not so much. But I want us to, this morning, view what the Bible says about rest and what we can do with what Psalm 127 says for tomorrow, okay? So it's not just a Bible verse that I'm going to read and we're going to have a look at, something that we can apply to tomorrow. So let's have a read of Psalm 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just look into your word now, we pray, Father God, that you would just open up your scripture to us. Father, that you would bless us, that you'd encourage us this morning as we look together. Father, we thank you that we can find rest in you. And may we just see that and understand that, perhaps for some of us for the first time this morning, that you indeed, Lord, give us a rest unlike any other. And Father, we pray that you'd just be with us now as we look together. And we ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The opening line of this psalm is pretty much the hinge pin, okay? So verse 1. So it's cheating, so don't read, all right? But thanks, Alistair. But verse 1 is really the hinge pin, if you like, and it's what everything is centred around. It's the hammer blow if you're fast asleep and you're not watching. It's massive, and it's the key to it all, so we're going to come back to it. But the psalmist explains our reality, and the reality is that we eat, we sleep, we work, and we repeat. In one way or another, whether it's working out in a job or whether it's at home doing what you've got to do, in reality, even if you're retired, and some people say, I wish I was back at work because retirement's harder work than it was. Alan's shaking his head. He had a tough job though. But in reality, that when we think about all of what's going off here and our mindset into how we can approach each day, it does seem a little bit like we eat, sleep, work and repeat. And it's sort of a never-ending cycle. And it makes us feel sometimes like that is literally it. But in truth, it is. And you'll have to forgive me here because I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 3. So you're all going to be a little bit disappointed. Because you've not got the verse because I didn't want to upset everybody. All right? In reality, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 tells us that that indeed is our lot because of sin. Okay? Because of the curse, we are in this cycle. I know, I've lost everybody. Bear with me, all right? I'll bring you back. But the cycle is that is indeed what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to toil and to labour. That's the reality of what we've been given because of our choice that we made back in the garden. When God said, don't touch that, and we did indeed touch that. We wanted to be like him. And you think, well, I didn't make that choice, but I know, because you're made of the same stuff as me, I'd have had a go. Because that's just the way we are. We are all exactly the same. We would have all taken and we would have all fallen into the trap. So with these first two lines, we're being drawn out of our moment, if you like. And I'll just read them quickly. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. So what we're being encouraged to do by the psalmist here is to take a step out of our moment and just view the situation. Some people find that easier than others. It's almost like you take yourself out of it and look back in, whether it's at a high place or whether you stood on the same level, but it's just a moment where your mind goes, okay, this is my situation. The kids are maybe off school. We've got all this to contend with. I've still got to go to work. I've still got to do what I've got to do. You know, in reality, it feels like the same sort of cycle. I'm just tired and exhausted. And when we look back into the situation, we can feel like, okay, I want to take myself out of the moment. I'm going to have a look. But Lord, I'm going to need your help in this. Again, it's good to lift our gaze every once in a while, is it not? It's good to just lift our gaze and just to view things and see what's going on. And in reality, when we think about our own walk, our individual walk, we might be in a position where, you know, my kids are of an age now where they've grown up a little bit, and there's nobody more tired, is there, than a parent with a young one. There isn't anybody more tired. And we know that. We feel that. We see that. We can understand that to some degree. Most of us have blocked it out of our minds those first few years. We know the cycle, don't we? Where the crying happens and you've got to get up and you've got to feed them and then the nappy's full and that is a cycle in itself. But if I can bring you encouragement, firstly, it doesn't last forever, but the moment that it's gone, you want it back. And that's the truth. That is just the truth. So there's nobody more tired than a parent with a young child. And I remember the bottle feeds and the sleepless nights. And Hugo, my 9-year-old, who sat here, adores 6 a.m. still. I know. He absolutely loves 6 a.m. And if you're not awake by 7 a.m., there will be consequences, okay? Not from me, I mean from Hugo. Because at 7 a.m, he's absolutely taking in all of the football news between 6 a.m. and 7, and it's yours whether you want it or not. And we love it. At 7 a.m, we get all the football news, and Jack's like, Hugo, could you tone it down a bit? But that's just the joy of it. We don't need an Alexa to give us an update. We have a Hugo. Listen to what verse 3 and 5 says here in Psalm 127. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, children born in one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. For all of us, with so many young ones around about us, and we've got the blessing of seeing the teenagers this morning and the under 10s have gone out. And it's absolutely fantastic to see these kids around about us in church. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to love and to nurture, to care for them. We have a responsibility too to enjoy them, not to be annoyed by the noise, but to embrace it, because they're the next generation, amen? They're the next ones that are going to take this church on. And the other churches in and around this area and throughout the world, that's our prayer, is it not? So we have to embrace them, to love them, to care for them, and to help them. And they are an absolute blessing. It shows growth in a church. It shows that the church is budding and growing, and that is what we want, amen? And of course, when you read the final part of Psalm 127, for families like the Bakers, if anything happens in court, they've got no issue at all, because they've got 5 to testify for them that they were doing everything right. Brilliant. What a joy. So what is the psalm saying? What is the psalm drawing us to? Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. There's a difference between eat, sleep, work and repeat, and God be with me while I eat, sleep, work and repeat. There's a vast difference. And maybe those of us that got saved later on in life have been able to experience that firsthand by seeing the moments before we accepted Christ as Saviour to the moments after, where there's a peace now that never was there before, where there's an assurance now that was never there before, and there's a contentment that says God's in control that was never there before. And we have this real privileged church, as we follow the Lord, as we serve the Lord wholeheartedly, to find a rest unlike the world can offer. The world is chasing after the rest that we can find in him. And even when everything seems up in the air, there's still a peace in our hearts that says, God's in control. And I don't say that flippantly. Listen, I'm 38. I'm not naive. I know full well how hard life is. I've experienced it firsthand. But I know that whatever life throws at me, that God is in control. I know that he won't leave me nor forsake me, because his word says it so many times. I know that he's by my side. I know that he cares for me, and he's got plans to prosper me, not to harm me. Plans to give me a hope and a future. And one day I will see my Saviour face to face. Not because of anything that I could possibly do to earn that, but by the grace given to me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being given what I don't deserve. And you, as you've accepted Christ as Saviour, have that same assurance. Tomorrow might well be tough, but I know that God's in control. And that makes such a difference on our lives, such a difference in our heart. And that is our starting point. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labourers toil and do everything they've got. They do it in vain. Because the Lord is the starting point, amen? Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Who's in the all? Well, we all are in the all. We've discussed this time and time and time again. We all get tired. We all are weary. And Jesus has given an invitation to you this morning, saying if you're tired and you're weary, and I bet you are, and you may even be off the back of a holiday, but who normally needs a holiday to recover from the holiday? I know. We need just that extra week. Our friends, Joe and Lee Maloney, books 4 days off before he goes away and 2 days after. The guy's a genius. He is a genius. Listen, we could go away for 2 days and he still does the same. So I question how many holidays the lad's got. But nevertheless, that is what he does. And it's just incredible. So we need this rest. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He gives us as believers a rest, not always the physical, but always for our souls. That we can rest in his promises. We can rest in his assurance. We can rest in our hope that we find in him. We can rest in his love. No one wants to build in vain, do they? Without result or success is what that means. To build in vain. You don't want to build something without result or success. That's just rubbish. We've all had a go at Lego without instructions. Never looks like it's meant to. We don't want to build in vain without success or result. So his call to us this morning is to come to him, to seek him out, to look for him, to search for him. Come to me, all who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. And the challenge for us then is to say, Lord, I need your help. I need you, Lord, to give me that rest. And the prayer for those that don't yet know Christ as Saviour is say, Lord, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I want a relationship with you. I want this rest that he's talking about. Church, for us then as Christians, is to make sure that we take the time out to just have a look in, just to step out and look at the blessings that we've got. Maybe the kids around us, maybe the job and the house and the family, the joy that the Lord has given to us. And sometimes we can't look at everybody else and go, well, look at their blessing. Why have I not got that blessing? Again, take a step out and look at what you've got. The Lord is faithful, amen. He is faithful and he loves us beyond measure. So we're in a position where we step out and we look around us and we go, God, I'm so thankful for all that you've given to me. Lord, help me to focus on you, not to look at everybody else around me and say, oh, I want that or I need that or I wish I'd got that. But to say, Lord, I'm thankful for my lot, for what you've given to me. Lord, when I think about it, I don't deserve anything. Yet here I am. So, Lord, I'm thankful. And I want, Lord, for you to help me to find that rest. And the youth this weekend have looked at the wise and the foolish builders. And the question then for us today, for the youth, for all of us, is how are we building? What are we building upon? If we want peace and we want rest and we want success in what we do, not in a sense of what the world goes is success, but I know where I'm going. And I count that as great success because of what the Lord has done for me. That we, if we want that, then Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Where is your rest coming from? What are we building upon? And the challenge for us this morning is to look to him. When tomorrow comes, before we take a step out of bed, we say, Lord, thank you for all that I've got. Thank you that you love me enough to give me this. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me today to be on fire for you. Lord, help me today to find rest in you. Help me, Lord, to live my life for you. Let's build on him. And church, as Jesus promised, we will find rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again this morning for your word and for its encouragement. And Lord, over these next few weeks, as the kids are going to take time off school and those that teach and all those that are involved in education, as they take a rest, we pray, Lord, that you would just bless them. You'll have your hand upon them. And Father, for each of us, that you would just help us, Lord, to just take a moment, perhaps this afternoon, perhaps tonight before we get in bed, or maybe in the morning before we rise. Father, to just take a moment to reflect and to say thank you. And Father, to come to you who is able to give us rest. We just thank you, Lord God, for the blessings that we have in your word. And we pray, Lord God, that you would bring us that peace and rest that we so desire. We ask all of these prayers in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.